okay. I mean, I'm 60 years old, and I grew up with cartoons. And when they asked me to write the description for this, I wrote down it's how a lot of us got into furry. And that's true. I mean, in my case, you had the UHF TV channels in Boston or wherever with Yogi Bear. You had the Beatles cartoon. You had some of the things like Bugs Bunny, all the Hanna-Barbera shows, the Flintstones, everything. A lot of us grew up on that. And then over the years, there have been many other cartoons. And sometimes they've rehashed them, and they put out recent movies. There was a Tom and Jerry movie, which I saw. Yogi Bear, I did not see that movie. I heard it was not good. So we still have a lot of great cartoons out there, whether it's on the big screen or whether it's on the small screen. I myself am really looking forward to Zootopia Plus on Disney Plus. That is going to be coming out on November 9th. And that's going to be 6 episodes, and I don't know whether they're going to be 7 minutes long or a half hour long. But we do have the panel next door at 11:30. We're looking forward to Zootopia Plus that's coming up. And what did I see recently? I'm trying to think what cartoon movie I saw. Well, on Disney Plus, I saw Turning Red. I know that. And I know I saw the, I mentioned the Tom and Jerry movie and all that sort of stuff.
Chip and Dale.
Oh, Chip and Dale. Okay, I saw that too. That was very good. That one was much like Who Framed Roger Rabbit in that you had live action and animation blending. Now, when I saw the Tom and Jerry movie, it was kind of interesting. I don't think they spoke, the rest of the cartoon characters did, you know what I mean, the animals, but they didn't. But you would see someone walking a dog, and it would be a real person, but a cartoon dog, you know, on all fours and everything. I thought it was kind of cute. A lot of people may not have been too crazy about that movie. I thought it was okay. And the Chip and Dale one, yeah, you had the different characters and everything, and yeah, a little bit controversial. You had Robin Hood, you had Peter Pan all grown up. And it's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's spoiling something. But it's just so great, all this tradition of cartoons and things like that. Now, Anthro Animals, they stand on two legs, they often dress, you know, they dress with clothes and everything, and they, you know, they talk and everything like that. They're much like people. There are cartoons when the whole world is all Anthro Animals. Then there's some of there's a little bit of each. You know, and then you might have something like Scooby-Doo where, you know, he spoke a little bit, you know, Scooby-Doo, Dumb and all that sort of stuff. Some of them spoke a little bit. But Anthro Animals have been in so many things. Now, I was eating at the Doubletree, the breakfast over there, and what did I have in front of me? I had a bowl of Frosted Flakes, and I had some Borden milk, which had Elsie the cow and everything. So many commercials have featured cartoon animals, and I'll show you some of those coming up. There's one with all the Looney Tunes characters and everything. So you see them there. You see place names and everything. Like here in the Pittsburgh area, you've got Raccoon Creek State Park, Beaver County, Fox Chapel, Squirrel Hill, and so on. Animals are a big part of our life, even if they don't, in real life, stand on two legs. Well, sometimes they do, and all that. But, you know, they're part of that. They're part of radio stations. You're listening to The Wolf. This is Froggy 108 or something, you know. So they're all over the place. And what we grew up with, we had Disney, of course. How can you not forget? Disney created a lot of this whole thing, and now it's a mega huge corporation, but it all began with the mouse and so many other things as well. And they did some innovations like live action and animation. Hanna-Barbera, I was showing some of that stuff a little earlier. The Patty Freeling, now that was stuff like the Pink Panther. And that was an outgrade of Warner Brothers. And then Warner Brothers, now I did not see that Space Jam 2 or whatever, but a lot of us, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, they had wonderful animators. They had people like Chuck Jones, and you had wonderful people like Mel Blanc and June Foray and all that doing the voices. So those are classics. Even things like the Muppets, in a way. There were some Muppet cartoons, but they were puppets that were Anthro and everything like that, you know. C is for Cookie. You had the Cookie Monster and all that sort of thing. You had Kermit the Frog. They're Anthro animals. And look at educational TV. Mr. Rogers with Daniel Striped Tiger and all that. The imagination. So they're a little bit of everything. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to actually turn this off here and play some commercials, but hold on a second. Okay. This one I did at Anthro New England, so it might be a rerun, but for some of you. But here's some commercials, and yeah, some of them are for beer, but I think you might find these interesting. And some of them are live action animation mix. Okay, so this didn't work. This worked earlier, and it doesn't work now. Give it, okay, here it is.
Billy, there's a new drink mix.
The Brilliant House!
Wow! Our drinks are scrumptious.
Isn't it delicious?
Yeah.
Well,
you'll love them, especially mine.
Let me taste.
up, Doc.
New Bugs Bunny and Pals Drink Mix.
With 100% NutraSweet and 100% vitamin C.
No matter who you are, where you're from, every family, every little should have the financial security they need. Not just the ones who can figure out money. Not just the most fortunate. Everyone. MetLife. I can do this.
What's the deal with the tiger?
Supercharged Kellogg's Frosted Flakes cereal as part of a good breakfast can help bring out the tiger in you.
Tiger One, ready for takeoff.
Hey man, you're supposed to let go of the ball.
Here.
1974.
This was for everyone. It's the year of the tiger.
This is the year of the tiger. We'll have breakfast with the tiger of the year. Make it nourishing and tasty. Christmas on the
run. Dr. Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes. That's the one. Its secret toasted and frosted and 8 essential vitamins and iron make for nutrition that tastes great. Cool it, cousin. I'll let you know when it's the year of the elephant.
Okay, Benny, remember the plan?
Good evening, Benny.
Good morning. Can I help?
You can indeed, my dear. I was hoping to borrow you from a little moolah.
Moolah?
I need to borrow a little money for a new home.
Right. Shall we take a seat?
Benny, you're up. My previous home has been destroyed, carried away by the trash men on the orders of Officer Dibble, and callously crushed.
Oh, that's awful. You poor thing.
I love that old home. Please help me buy a new one. Just think of the children.
No problem.
Really? No problem? I'm Benny. Enough with the violin.
Okay, TC.
Now then, let's get down to business.
Okay. Shall we start with your name?
Tab Cat! Why, Officer Dibble, welcome to my humble abode. Won't you come in? Me and the boys are having a pool game in the library.
Based on Sergeant Bilko, the show, that's what inspired pretty much Phil Silvers and all that. All right, beer commercials. The beer is called Sasha. I've never had a Hams in my life. Sounds like Kurt Albert and Tijuana Brass a little bit. This is from the mid-60s.
There's just one way to tell a great beer from an ordinary beer. Taste, and nothing beats the taste of a Hams going down. Why settle for less? Have a Hams.
Just one more, and I'll ride around.
One of these has the guy that played BJ Honeycutt on MASH before. You'll see.
Ham, real draft. Why settle for less?
From the land of sky blue waters comes the water best for brewing. Hams, the beer refreshing.
Yeah, here he comes, Mike Farrell from MASH. That's him.
Round it goes and never stops refreshing.
Secret? When you start with water best for brewing, you get a beer so refreshing you'll want to stay with it. Glass after glass, round after round. Learn the secret. Buy a round of Hams. Glass after glass after glass.
All the cowboy shows that were on TV at the time. You gotta have a rootin' tootin' bear and raccoon here.
Refreshes you best. The one right beer for those who want another. Tastes so right. it bears repeating.
From the land of sky blue water, water best for brewing.
Again, I love animation, live action mix. They did pretty well for the 60s or 70s. Probably early 70s on this one.
Hams taste so right, it's worth repeating. It bears repeating. Want another Hams? Have another. It's brewed with water best for brewing. So light on your thirst, it keeps on refreshing you, glass after glass.
Round after round it goes, and Hams starts refreshing.
Fast forward a little bit here.
Fight for Hams.
Stop.
You mean you don't serve
spirit of horses in the second place? Get that horse out of here.
Nichols and May. Comedy team.
No, I'm sorry. We don't allow horses in here in the first place, and we don't serve beer or horses in the second place. And just get your horse out, please.
He's got to have a bottle of Gansett. It gives you that straight from the barrel taste and bottle can or on tap.
No.
You mean you don't serve horses?
Well, there's a big sign over the bar. We do not serve beer or horses.
Well, can't you make an exception this once? My horse is parched, lady.
We do not make exceptions. We do not serve beer or horses. We just won't do it.
Not even Gansett?
No.
He really craves Narragansett.
No, sir. If we serve beer to your horse, pretty soon every horse in the neighborhood will be coming and asking for Gansett. Now, just get your horse out of here.
I'm awful sorry, Seymour.
Oh, never mind, Hank. I'm driving anyway.
Designated driver. And a lot of beer commercials. This is for Natty Bo out of Baltimore.
At the sound of the whistle of the bandolier, the parade begins with a thundering cheer. It's a thrilling sight.
I think the last one on this is Pennsylvania tourism with a bunch of beers. I thought that was appropriate.
Occasions call for quality national beer. Quality that demands the finest grain, the purest water, the utmost patience in brewing and aging. You can tell by the taste. Light, refreshing national beer.
Winter in Pennsylvania. I'm going to do a brief Yogi Bear related clip in a moment, but I wanted to mention, I don't know if when we were in Valley Forge or something like that, we had a panel about furry commercials and everything. And what people have to remember is YouTube didn't exist yet. We had a whole room with all videos and everything. Again, what was YouTube? No one had invented it yet. So, you know, that's the cool thing about that was we get to see that. So somewhere here, I have, okay, this is from Hey There, It's Yogi Bear, 1964, a big screen. Although Yogi himself is not in this clip, this is a good tune.
That's mighty pretty singing, miss.
Oh, blank.
Thank you.
You sound like you're in love.
I am. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to meet my boyfriend.
Well, you sure ain't gonna have any trouble getting there, because I am the conductor on this train. Get your tickets ready, folks.
Where's this train going, conductor?
Denver, Cheyenne, and Punxsutawney. All aboard.
I want to go Saint.
Yeah, you know, you could go to the theater and see Yogi and, you know, Full Color and all that. Great picture, great sound in that area. And that was something special back then, and the cartoons were only on at a certain time. You didn't have your cell phone when you could find things at any time, you know. But it was kind of amusing because there was a moment in the Jetsons where Elroy is in school, the Little Orbit School, whatever like that, and the kid next to him is looking at his wristwatch. What are you watching? I'm watching the 1,000,000th rerun of the Flintstones. They predicted back then that you would have something like that, but that's what you've got. Okay, so I may do a few more clips later, but here's where I say that over the years afterwards, you still had cartoons and everything, but there was a big revitalization or revival around 1988 when Who Framed Roger Rabbit came out. You had one brief moment where the different studios and everything all said, yeah, let's, and I guess they did this a little bit with maybe Chip and Dale, or there were some other things, a commercial you saw earlier, where they all agreed, but they got all the movie studios to agree. Yeah, you can put Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny in the same scene, but they got to be, you know, the same time and everything. But it was a great movie. It mixed live action and animation. And yeah, think of all the things like, you know, Cartoon Network and the different TV shows and, you know, Kids WB and Fox Kids and all that. That's what brought a lot of things. And they started doing TV shows in prime time. There was one called Capital Critters. There was Fish Police and so on. And then when the Fox Network came out, of course, you do remember Tracy Ullman show, they had these little bumpers with this cartoon family called The Simpsons, and then they had their own series, and then later you had Animation Domination, so you had King of the Hill and all the other shows, Bob's Burgers, which I never quite got into, and so on. So back in the late 80s, there was a big revitalization, and a lot of the people like us that grew up with cartoons were part of it. They were the ones that were writing it, getting up the ideas and things like that, and it still happens today. So you go out to the movie theater, or you go on to Disney Plus or something, and you can enjoy things. That's why I'm looking forward to Zootopia Plus when it comes out. And there actually are some of these cartoons, you know, they want to put them out. Like, I think they wanted to do Hong Kong Fooey, but it might have gotten canceled. There was the Scoop, was it the Scooby-Doo movie that came out? Actually, there's been a couple of them. There's been spin-offs like that. I mentioned the Yogi Bear one, which a lot of people didn't like. I fortunately did not see it from what I heard. And yeah, they want to do all these remakes and everything. One thing I remember is, well, Robert Zemeckis is going to remake the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. So he put out Mars Needs Moms, and it flopped. So they said, yeah, we're not going to do it. And a bunch of people said, yeah, but wait a minute, Robert Zemeckis, he did Roger Rabbit. He did Back to the Future. You don't trust him to do Yellow Submarine? Did you see the actual footage of it? It was bizarre, to say the least, but that might have been interesting, you know? And that reminds me of one other thing I'm going to mention quickly. Your favorite pop stars. You could go to your TV and watch the Beatles cartoon. Of course, they had different people doing the voices. You have the Jackson 5, you had the Osmonds, and all those different things like that. And you even had artificial groups. You had the Chattanooga Cats, which was around 69 or so. Someone didn't like some or something, or you did like some, or just raising your hand.
I know what it is.
Oh, you know what it is. Chattanooga Cats, you had the Josie and the Pussycats and so on. I was mentioning earlier before 10 o'clock that there was some incidental music in the Jetsons. Dun, 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 dun. So they wanted a theme song, so they said, let's just take that and put words to it. Josie, the Pussycats. And back when we were in the Adams Mark, I think, we had the creator of Josie and the Pussycats and all that, the Josie comic strip, Dan DiCarlo, and his wife Jocelyn were guests of honor. So we went back to that. So that was another, you know, there was a whole bunch of things. So I'm going to just mention real quick, we're talking about movie tie-ins and everything. This is one from the 90s. It was actually kind of an adult movie in a way. It wasn't exactly G-rated, but this is a spinoff of Goodfellas.
That's a skunk.
It is?
Yeah, you can always ID a skunk by his bushy body and white stripes.
And it has two glands near the inferior extremity of the alimentary canal, which secretes an extremely offensive smelling fluid.
Squid. Squid. Don't do that, squid. Squid. Cheesy.
Yeah, and back in the 70s, the Patty Freeling had a bunch of shorts called The Dogfather, which was obviously influenced by The Godfather. And I mentioned the Zootopia panel coming up. Well, yeah, but of course, that whole thing with Mr. Big, and it's the day of my wedding and everything, that goes back to the very first part of The Godfather, where it's, you know, Talia Shire playing, you know, Connie Corleone getting married and everything and all that. So that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, have there been certain authorized and unauthorized TV shows and movies that were spun off of the cartoons? This was actually authorized, The Oddball Couple.
You don't get oil from grape.
The Odd Couple was on for about 3 years on ABC, and just as it was going off, to Patty Freeling did The Oddball Couple. And you had Paul Winchell, who did the voice of Fleabag, and Frank Nelson, who did the Neatnik Cat, who was Spiffy. Now, he's the one... Yes! That's him. So you're going to hear him. This is The Oddball Couple from 75, and you will see a spoof of a TV detective who was popular.
You lie! You're making up this whole cotton picker story! Do you believe this nut?
Really, Fleabag? Of course I believe him. It's his story, after all.
All right, keep your knuckles on.
Excuse me, sir. I hate like the dickens to bother you this way. This will only take a moment,
That's
sir.
Paul Winchell.
I really appreciate also. You talking to me, sir, really.
Who is it, Fleabag?
Just another nut.
Sir, I would like you to look at these photographs and tell me, have you ever seen this gentleman before in these disguises? Take your time, sir. His name is Quick and Fast Oakley, also known as Smarty Leonardi, also known as Gunther the Gaucho, and Boomer J.C. Rockbottom.
That's him! That's him! I can take you right to him! Follow me!
You gentlemen, I say you gentlemen will have to excuse me. I've got a heavy appointment in Sumora. The natives are getting mighty restless.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rockbottom. The moose head is a dead giveaway. It belongs to the sanitarium. You know, sir, the gang can't wait to see you again. They really miss you, sir.
The boys really miss me, eh?
Really, Fleabag? All that work for nothing? Just look at it. Whoa! It's not all for nothing. At least he left us a bag of money. Oh, no. This isn't worth a dime. It's play money.
Yeah, so that was actually, I think that was actually authorized. I think Paramount or whatever studio made The Odd Couple said that they could do that. So there's another good example right there of something inspiring. So I was going to mention that the DVD sets, you know, it used to be, well, there's certain things that will never come out on DVD, but sometimes they do put them out. The Oddball Couple, for example, is. And people, like Jerry Beck is a cartoon expert. People will say to him, oh, there are these awful movies coming out, like Yogi Bear and everything. And he says, not necessarily. It may be kind of awful, but inspires the studios to say, you know something, I think we'll reissue the show itself and put some extras in and things like that. So it might be kind of a good thing. And what I'm going to do is also just talk about the fact that cartoons are not strictly just for kids. They're for people of all ages, and some of them are pretty intelligently written, even if they might be sort of so-so animation-wise. Bullwinkle comes to mind. Bullwinkle was hilarious and very sophisticated, so you have that. Well, now we're about almost at the halfway point here, so I'm going to ask some questions here just out of curiosity. First of all, does anyone here, can they say with a certain cartoons that got them into furry, you could say, you know what, that's what made me a furry? Go ahead.
Well, the one that everybody's is on there, everyone's mind, Robin Hood. But for me, it was Bonkers.
Bonkers D. Bobcat from Disney, yeah?
Yeah,
that was almost in a way a spinoff of Roger Rabbit. They couldn't agree on putting Roger Rabbit in a series necessarily, maybe, so they altered it a little bit.
They had Mickey in one of the episodes, but you didn't see him the entire time. He was in a box.
Yeah.
With his voice.
Yeah. So you had Bonkers. Anyone else over there?
Generation difference here, but also Disney, the Wuzzles.
The Wuzzles, yeah.
There was a show out about the same time called The Get Along Gang.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got outside of Kmart. I got to meet a guy in a Montgomery Moose suit.
Yeah, those are like greeting cards or something like that. So they spun them off. And you remember the Care Bears?
Yes.
That was one that was the same sort of idea. And how about this? How many people remember Teddy Ruxpin? Teddy Ruxpin, yes. Back around '86 or so, I worked for Bradley's, a now defunct department store chain, and I was in the hardware department, and we were right next to the toy department, and they had a setup there where they had Teddy Ruxpin, and it was motion activated as soon as someone walked by. Hi, how are you? My name is Teddy Ruxpin. But that was pretty proper back then. It was a doll that had a cassette that would play, and later on it was a computer chip. And again, it was pretty hot for quite a while. Anyone else can say that something? Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you finished.
Oh, no, that's what I was going to say was, I mean, like some of the things I'm showing, like, for example, you saw things like Top Cat that were in some of the things, like the commercial and everything. Things like that is what got me into it. Go ahead, in the back.
Well, I did have a VHS tape, so Looney Tunes cartoons, but
yep.
I also segued into Tiny Toons. So,
yep. Yeah, like I said, you know, back after Roger Rabbit, you had people like Steven Spielberg working on doing Tiny Toon Adventures, the Animaniacs. This was years ago. We had Rob Paulsen, Narf, who did a lot of the voices. He picked in the brain and everything. He was one of the guests of honor. So here at Anthrocon. Anyone else can just say a specific cartoon, or you can say something like just Warner Brothers in general, or go ahead.
The raccoons.
Oh, I love you. I love you. I have.
Run with us. Was it Disney Channel? Or
it was on Disney Channel. It was done by Hinton Animation Studios or one other one, too. Somewhere here I've got, I don't know, I've got something with the raccoons on it where I did a tribute to Burt Raccoon or something like that. That was a Canadian show. Yeah, I may not have it necessarily. Oh, I do. Here it is. And they keep talking about making new. That was me editing. Windows Movie Maker.
Quiet, peaceful, serene. That is until
Anthrocoon
wakes up.
I had to say that. Yeah.
Luckily, he has some good friends to help him out.
Humor people!
Yep. Aardvark.
The raccoons!
Pretty much all the episodes are on YouTube, I think. Yeah, go ahead. He's got the theme song. Go ahead.
For years, I would mention that nobody thought it was existed. What are you talking about? They could pick up the channel out of Buffalo.
Pick up the Canadian one, yeah. YTV or one of those youth channels or something they had, yeah. It was on the CBC and everything. I'm not sure if I have it on here, but there was, what was the other thing related to the raccoons? Oh, no, I know what it is. The song, okay, in Megilla Gorilla, do I have it? I think I do. Here it is. This is a song called Making with the Megilla, I believe.
Joe would call us up to his office.
No, that's not it. But I don't know if I can get YouTube on here or something. But Making with the Megilla was a song written by Carole King, and it was done on Megilla Gorilla Show. And at one point, he goes into the tree, and I go, okay. Later on, you had Burt Raccoon doing the same thing. If this will actually allow me to access the internet, maybe I will find it. But it was just an interesting song. And there actually was a connection with pop music and Hanna-Barbera. They actually had Danny Hutton from the Three Dog Night was part of them and all that. So you had them and you had cartoon-inspired songs. Well, let me see if I can find it out of curiosity. So we'll go to YouTube and make him with the Magilla. Oh, no internet. There's got to be a way to do it. Yeah, I don't know if I can do it. But it's just, yeah, you can look for it or something. So, yeah, you talked about the raccoons. I think there was someone else over there who went. Go ahead.
Digimon Tamers. Just like
Digimon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's more recent stuff, obviously. Some of the stuff, obviously, I'm not as conversant in on that. I'm just going to see if
it's... late 90s, so it's been a while.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was saying that earlier. You know, someone like me that's 60 years old, we think of, 30 years ago, that was the 60s. No, 30 years ago was the 90s. Go ahead, back there.
A show that kind of unlocks my own imagination is that Jim Henson, Dog City.
Dog City, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That was an interesting thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's from the 90s.
Go ahead, back there, way back there.
Thundercats,
oh, yeah. That was great. There were some different things like Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa, which had, I can't remember the guy's name, but there was a country singer who did the theme. Go ahead.
You mentioned Top Cat earlier.
Billy Dean. Go ahead, yeah.
But I also remember on VHS, Top Cat and the Beverly Hills Cats.
Yeah, they had like movies, like hour and a half movies or something like that they did for syndication or whatever it was, so that was part of that, yeah. I'm going to see if I can get the McGillagorilla thing on there. Go ahead.
Fico Mice for Mars.
Yep. Was that almost like a spoof of like Teenage Mutant or something?
Everything. A little bit, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. 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 Like TV shorts.
Yeah.
Success in Ninja Turtles. Dinosaurs. You have other companies coming out with their own
franchises. Yeah, they did a bunch of things. Like there was even like this really bad like shark cartoon that
Street
was kind
Sharks?
Of a...
Street Sharks.
Street Sharks. Yeah,
it was Squawk Cat. Battletoads.
That only lasted like one episode.
Yeah.
Not even
I don't know if this thing's going to allow me to even try to. Oh well.
Neither did like Cheetah Men. That game, that was.
Oh, here it is. Complimentary. Okay, Mary. Now that's with an access. I don't know if I can get on or not.
Without.
Oh well. It's good. Okay, it's a right now. Now nah, I'm not going to go through all this. I'm in the middle of a panel. Okay, and back there.
The Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon from 1993.
Yep, yeah, that.
Which one? Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog or Sad-Am?
Sad-Am, the good one.
Which one?
Ouch.
They've had some. There was a recent movie, one of the. It's either coming out or it's already out, something like that, with Sonic and different things like that.
I like both of them
too.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those shows. I mean, there's so many different genres. There's things like, you know, westerns, action. Science fiction, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, things like Spider-Man, even if it's just for the theme song, you know, so you would have that. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play one from Disney Channel.
Like
this was on NBC, too, I think, before that. This was first on NBC, I want to say.
Love this song.
As you can tell, I get some of these off YouTube anyway.
Dashing and daring, courageous and courage, faithful and friendly, with stories to share. The forest, they sing out in chorus, marching along as the song fills the air. Gummy bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. Magic and mystery are part of their history, along with the secret of gummy berry juice. The magic is growing, they take pride in the world. It's whatever they do. Gummy bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere.
Voices were Bill Sott and June Foray. You had Bill Sott as was Gruffy or I can't remember or whatever. Oh,
was,
yeah, or the old guy. Well, no, he's got the voice, Bullwinkle type voice.
Gruffy.
Oh yeah, and then Grumpy, and then you had Grammy was June 4th. They had worked in Bullwinkle and all that, and they had high hopes of doing more. But unfortunately, Bill Scott passed away, and that I don't know if that was one reason why the Gummies stopped or whatever. But whatever. But I do remember that. So we talked earlier about those sort of things. Now let's go. I'm hopping all over the place, but I want to expose people to some interesting things you may not have heard from before. Late 60s. This was a show called The Chattanooga Cats that was on ABC. Now, what they did was, it was like an umbrella show. You had this, you had Around the World in 79 Days, Motor Mouse and Auto Cat, and It's the Wolf, the Wolf. This only lasted about a year or two, and later they decided to do another music-related cartoon. They did Josie and the Pussycats. But this is pretty good. Now, Michael Lloyd and Mike Curb did the music. They also did the theme song for Hot Wheels, if anyone remembers that one. Hot Wheels featured Casey Kasem. Casey Kasem was also one of the voices of the Chattanooga Cats. He was Groove. So this is late 60s pop from the Chattanooga Cats. I would have been about 7 when this came out. The album on Hanna-Barbera, well, 4 was recommended. Groove, Casey Kasem's voice. This would definitely be called bubblegum music. This same time, if you want to talk bubblegum with mostly humans, although there was a dog in a way. Sugar, oh honey, honey, right? From Filmation, the Archie show, and then later they had things like Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. Go ahead.
I was
going
to say, I know all that. I'm obsessed with the 60s bubblegum.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah, there was so much great. Oh, and how about, let's put a bunch of people in animal suits and tra la 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 la. You had the Banana Splits. And they showed cartoons as part of that show, including a couple that had been in prime time. They had Adventures of Gulliver and then Huck Finn. Both of those were later, you know, rerun as part of the Banana Splits. And again, me watching it on Channel 56 in Boston, seeing all these shows, you know. So there's different things. Now, here's an example of a show from a little later, and this character had a voice rather reminiscent of Elvis. Yeah.
Do the monkey with me. Come on. Hey there, baby. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that anyone see that Elvis movie, brother? I did. It's a little over the top, but whatever.
I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, it was good for the senior discount. I was over in Wilkes-Barre at the time. Oh, I must have gray hair and everything. They gave me the senior discount without even asking. It's only $7 instead of 9.
Johnny Bravo, you know, the character is inspired by Elvis, but you know, yep. There are also a lot of 70s references, like the Osmonds and Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Osmonds, as I mentioned, they have their own series. You had that, okay. So, now I think I played this earlier, I'm going to play it again. This was from DePatty Freeling from the late 60s, Super 6. And this was Gary Lewis and the Playboys, Jerry Lewis's son. This is his band.
The men from Super Service, facing danger just for kicks.
I'm a dozen super strong men who are called the Super Six. Super Six, Super Six, battle criminals and all their evil games. Super Six, Super Six, evil doers with them
wham, power.
Oh, no.
Down the fear of darkness, given a climb an uppercut. Five great thunderbolts of power, and a bolt who is a nut. Super Six, Super Six, they give their own.
And somewhere I've got another DePatie Freeman show, which might fall under the category of really bad, and Jerry Beck is going to talk about it. Jerry has done the worst cartoons ever at things like Comic-Con, and somewhere here I've got Super President. And I have played this at this panel before, not here at Anthrocon, but I'm just going to take a minute to do this. The only other time I've done a panel at Anthrocon was way back in 98, by the way. That was a while ago. Okay, we already saw that one. So, okay. Oh, why did that just... Yeah, okay, here it is.
I must change to steel if I'm to hold those walls back.
Super President, a 1966 TV cartoon whose secret identity is... Well, he's the president. We know who he is.
Very fake news.
I think it was just a big, yeah.
Artie and Artie.
Super President. I mean, it's, you know, Super President. Wow. Would you think of a superhero as Super President? That's like saying Super Senator. I mean, it's stupid.
Anybody mind if I take my pill?
Yeah. Some of the things he's shown, Mighty Mr. Titan, that's another one. And for a while, Jerry Beck had something going along with TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater called Cartoon Dump, where they would show all stuff like that. And it was a riot. It would be live shows in like, New York and L.A. and things like that. So, okay, I was going to ask about the cartoons of the past. If you could either make a new series, you know, reviving it, or a movie, what would you like to see? I know the Raccoons is among them, and they keep talking about doing it. Is there anything that's like, okay, go ahead.
There's one character that, if anybody knows him, you get a quarter. Kiko the Kangaroo. That he was basically a 1920s character made in the 30s. So
yep.
He was already outdated when he debuted. But he was actually kind of cool. Unlike Mickey and Felix, who were just the little guy trying to get one over on the big guy, Kiko was like 6 foot tall and was not afraid to throw hands, even though he was a genuinely nice, playful guy. But he was a silent cartoon in the 30s.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that, like something done with him revived.
Right.
Give him a fair shake.
Yeah. I will say there are some cartoons out there that are a little politically incorrect, which if you go back, there's the so-called Censored 11 from Warner Brothers and so on. Even there was the DePatie and Freeman show, Dr. Doolittle, and kind of ethnic stereotypes like the different people that were there with Dr. Doolittle. Pretty catchy theme song, though. This is, what's this, 4 minutes long. This is something I put together hoping that FERPOC would let me do a panel on macrofurry, and they said, nah, but I still put this together. This is some Giant and Tiny, that's one of my other interests, cartoons.
Fieldman Washington.
Uh-oh, it's Pumpkin.
I aims to blunderbuss you all from here to fraternity. Ooh-wee. F and that don't take the rag off in the bush. I ain't no bigger than Mushmouse.
Well, suffering catfish. How could this have possibly happened?
Sabrina and a hot dog.
Oh, I think it's groovy. Now all the dogs on the block will look up to me.
Now, this is a live action, but it's just kind of an interesting. If you were 3 inches tall or something, and the cat decided to pay you a visit, right? Incredible Shrinking Man. That was in the 50s. In Time Private Eye, 1973, on NBC.
Braveheart, it is traditional for the dog to chase the cat, not vice versa.
We'll be there soon,
Microscopic Milton. Yeah, we're going to talk about this at 11:30 next door. Don't you think they have their own little mice, please, in Little Rodentia? Mousy. Tar goat. Yep. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I didn't think of that one.
I laughed so hard during this.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, I like Giant Tiny, so I thought it was a riot. Yeah.
Did you know that Summer Rockin, the newscast, when it switched up, like, when the two appeared in China, it was in Vietnam?
Oh, yeah, exactly. They had different animals doing it, yeah.
And they didn't get it on the news.
Well, also in the U.S. Peter Moosebridge was also in the U.S. version. And, yeah, that's true. They didn't have a different one for the U.S. They had Peter Moosebridge, Peter Manbridge.
Hey, stop right there! Have a donut, Kaka! Oh, my God. Did you see those leopard print jeggings? Oh,
love your hair.
Oh, thank you.
Before we go back into it, I was going to mention when Zootopia came out, it was Friday, March 4th of 2016, and I saw somewhere certain theaters will be showing it the night before. Danvers, Massachusetts. All right. I actually had my tail. I put it on. I went to the theater. There were maybe six or eight people there, and the slot scene came on. That theater was right around the corner from the Mass Registry of Motor Vehicles. So that was kind of ironic. I thought that was funny. Yeah, I thought that was appropriate. And having gone to the Mass Registry of Motor Vehicles, yes, it definitely was appropriate. There was one girl that was probably the only kid in the audience. The rest were, you know, adults and everything. And she cried when Judy resigned. I think I cried too. But we all know what happened. Okay, back to Dennis the Menace now. That was a giant, some sort of giant. I put that in there. And that's that, I did that. I took a picture of the White House and a picture of Brain from Top Cat. This is from Land of the Giants, late 60s, live action, admittedly. Irwin Allen. Geronimo Stilton. And there it is. So I've shown quite a bit of the clips I wanted to show. We got about 5 minutes or so to go. I do have to pack some things up and go next door to do Zootopia. But those are some of the questions I had. Again, if there is anything that you would like to see reissued, you know, or how about, is there something from the past, I think maybe he mentioned or something, that hasn't been reissued, you can't get it on DVD, it's not on YouTube, is there something you can say, I just haven't seen it in so many years? Go ahead.
Possible. They could be up on YouTube since right. I last looked, but Disney Channel, before they had a lot of more original content, they used to play a lot of international cartoons
right.
on the Disney Channel. So there's a movie from Yugoslavia called The Elm Chanted.
Oh, yes.
I've heard of that, yeah.
So that's I can't have the VHS paid for that.
Yeah.
They would also, Disney Channel would also play on... I think there were three movies from Italy called Mr. Rossi, where he had a dog named Gastoni. I think he was called Harold in some of the English translations. So, Enchanted Forest from Yugoslavia, Mr. Rossi from Italy, and there was another on the tip of my tongue, but I'd like to recommend those. Those were hard to find for a while.
Yeah, speaking of forests, right around the end of Hanna-Barbera, before it got fully integrated, you had Once Upon a Forest
yes.
with Michael Crawford. Finally! Rings.
I saw that in theaters.
Yep, that was great. Okay, well, okay.
Yeah, one cartoon that I personally would like to see get a revival, but I don't think it's going to happen. Rory Raccoon from...
Yeah, some of it was on YouTube. That was part of Linus the Lionhearted.
Yes.
Yeah. Rory Raccoon, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think it was going to happen because, you know, his main purpose was that he was supposed to be mascot, you know, spokes raccoon for Pope's cereal back then.
The whole show was a commercial. Yeah. That's the whole thing. There were actually people that were complaining about you had that, you had Hot Wheels, which is just a commercial for the toys and so on. But Linus the Lionhearted was, yeah, they had alphabets and they had all the different things. It was basically a commercial. And Sugar Bear, that's where Sugar Bear came from. Go ahead.
I remember when I was a kid, I had on VHS a Filmation tape of, keeping with the comp theme, Aesop's Fables with Bill Cosby.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And the particular episode was The Tortoise and the Hare. I don't know if that ever got picked up for a series or whatever. Okay. But if they could, not without Bill Cosby, obviously. But
now, can anyone remember the Aesop's Fable that was part of TV cartoons? Remember Aesop and Son? I think that was part of... Bullwinkle,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That was Jay Ward, Aesop and Son.
Yep.
Charlie Ruggles, I think, was the actor that played Aesop, and maybe it was someone like Dawes Butler or someone, you know. So, I mean, we barely touched on things like Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle was huge, all those different shows.
Boris and Natasha.
Boris and Natasha. Now, see, there's another example. They had some different movies. They had a Boris and Natasha movie. Robert De Niro? They had different people in it and everything. And they had some things reviving it. There have been plans for things like a Pink Panther movie that's not Inspector Clouseau, but the Pink Panther character in the real world. Mm-hmm. Pink, as you want to call it, whatever it was. And how many people remember a few times, well, more than a few in a way, where Pink spoke? There were a couple cartoons. There was one. Back in the 60s, he almost sounded like David Niven or something like that. But then you had Max Headroom himself there, Matt Frewer. Did that, and then I think the more recent ones he speaks as well. But for the longest time, Pink Panther did not speak, and that's one reason why it was popular in many other countries, because you didn't have to worry about the dialogue thing. It was just, you know. Okay, anything else that was really rare that might be out there somewhere and you don't know? Go ahead.
Actually, yeah, so I'm trying to remember this. Disney Channel also used to play this other movie. It wasn't the raccoon.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it was Canadian. Could have been Nelvana Studios also. It was about ice hockey, and I think everybody were mice or rats.
There was someone who mentioned that somewhere.
I think I've seen it as a kid, but I couldn't remember.
I can't remember it either, but I used to watch it when I was little.
Either that or I'm thinking of it as a different sport, like baseball, but it was Canadian.
I remember one other small Disney cartoon that didn't last long, Jungle Cubs.
Jungle Cubs, I mean, yeah, the whole thing about little kid versions of, you know, like the Flintstones kids and Yo Yogi and all that.
And Tom and Jerry kids.
Tom and Jerry kids, yeah. Go ahead.
Yo Yogi.
One from, that was syndicated on Nickelodeon, cartoon from France, Spartacus and something in the Sea. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially because I love the two pangolin characters, Pick and Back. You know how in a lot of these episodes they would have this dance routine with that song playing.
Yeah.
There was, you're talking about baseball, there was a baseball cartoon that starred minor birds.
Hmm.
Could have been by Filmation or somebody.
When I think baseball cartoons, I think of the one with Bugs Bunny, he's playing against the Gas House Gorillas and all that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the title was, but that was interesting. It just popped out of my mind what I was going to talk about, but some of the different things out there, yeah. So YouTube is great because you can have a lot of these things. Go ahead.
Not one that was necessarily rare, but I think it's just a shame because it kind of like got unfunded partway through and like the director dropped out, so it got very short. But the anime for Sherlock Holmes.
Was it Sherlock Hound?
Well, it was Sherlock Hound.
Oh, Sherlock Holmes animation, but there was some sort of show called like Sherlock Hound. This is different.
But it was called Sherlock Holmes in other countries.
Oh, okay.
Well, there was another one, Sherlock Holmes in the 23rd century.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, not only did Hanna-Barbera do a version of Around the World in 80 Days called Around the World in 79 Days, but you had a version from South America or something like that, Around the World with Willy Fogg. I'm sure you've seen that on YouTube.
I think that originated in Spain.
In Spain, okay.
Yeah.
And you had like different cats and different and dogs. It was almost like they were against each other. So the cats, you had Passepartout, or he was, I'm trying to think of, I just forgot the name, Rigodon. So you had Willy Fogg, you had Rigodon, and you had the girl I can't remember, Romy. There you go, thank you. Here I am, I'm Rigodon. The mascot. It sounds like he's saying dumbass cat, but it's the mascot. It's the mascot. But
There was a version of the Jules Verne story where Passepartout was a monkey.
Got
that on DVD.
Okay. Yeah. So there's been at least two furry versions of Around the World with DVDs.
Yeah. So we have that. But it's just great to think of all these things that are out there. Now, classic cartoons.
Thanks.
Now that you have things like your computer, you get DVDs, you get cable channels, everything like that, just think, years ago you only had Saturday morning and maybe in the afternoon, there'd be certain things, But now you can have them anytime, but ironically enough, you no longer have the networks doing all Saturday morning cartoons,
Which is sad.
But there's so much out there. You have the dedicated channels and everything. And as I said earlier, I do have Disney Plus, and I saw some of the recent movies. I'm looking forward to Zootopia Plus. So you have that. You have all the different things. Cartoon Network. I mentioned earlier that the Cartoon Network Hotel in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, opened up just before the pandemic, so they had to shut for a while, but then they reopened again. But Cartoon Network was a way to get MGM and all those Warner Brothers and show all these different things, and they created their own shows. So you had a whole bunch of things. Yeah, go ahead. And Nickelodeon, too. Go ahead.
I'm probably, I'd say my earliest cartoons that really awakened my, furriness, definitely the first one would be Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Okay.
And Gargoyles. I watched that. And The Mighty Ducks, the one with the actual ducks.
Yeah.
There was one where it was these buff canine anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
That one too.
It's a good one too.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
But what really got me into wanting to develop a persona and what really got me into the fandom as a whole is Digimon Adventure the first season. Where Gurumon was my true awakening.
I was just going to say, when you get the DVD sets, you get little documentaries like this and everything that just talk about, classics. So you have that. So you get the little freebies and the little mini documentaries. And that's really about it. I will just, this is just the intro from Dexter's Laboratory, and we'll go out with that, I guess. Thanks everyone for attending. I'm hoping I could do this at Furrydelphia and Anthro New England and Anthrocon again next year. And for Apocalypse, Furrydelphia, Anthro New England, I'm going to do them as often as I can. But thanks everyone. I have a website, anthrocoon.com, and there's audio for some of these panels and everything. So I will put the audio up later if you're curious. And there might be some other things. So it's anthrocoon.com. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you possibly next door in the Fayette Room for Utopia. All right, thank you. I'm Bob Nelson, once again, with Radio Voice Paper. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.